Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This episode was brought to you by the following patrons. Min, Sex Caliber Bones a Lot, Madeline, Edward, Sunzi, Alyssa, Vixen, Holly, Natasha, Laura, Boise, Allie, Mr. Ragebomb, Logan, Libby, Wes, Aaron, Kristen, Amy, Tia, Matthew, Jonathan, Isaac, and Karoon. But because it's that special time of the month, we get to shout out our You Can Get It level sponsors, and they are Kathy, Ray, Nikki, Knitting Menace, Samantha, Trevor, Renee, Billy, Tara, Jennifer, Levi, Caitlin, Kate, Dharma, Grace, Amanda the Playwright, Brooklyn, Bryce, Sean, Shayna, Allie, Dr. Voorhees, MD, Robert, Amelia, Maxwell, Liza, who spelled her name phonetically on Patreon, probably because I get it wrong every time, and thank you for that, Liza. Becca, Martha, AJ, Radioactive, Spider-Gwen, Rock Donkey, Irene, Naomi, Bex, Laura, Cameron, Kaylee, Daisy, Jackie, Alyssa, Mushroom Snail Fox, and Unintentionally Badass, aka Jennifer. And all the patrons want you to know you're loved, you're listened to, and you're a valuable member of this awesome Horror Virgin community. And if you want to hang out with us, do so in the Facebook group where we will be looking through a crack in the wall daily.
I did feel like the guy in this movie made every choice Mikey would make. And I did 100%. Like that.
I've never connected with a protagonist as deeply as this man.
Thank you for tuning into Horror Virgin. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin Todd, which means I don't like scary movies, but you guys make me watch them. And this week, the listeners made us watch
Terrified.
And I was.
And thank you for this one.
This is what I wanted.
100.
After we watched When Evil Lurks, you guys both mentioned, I think after we recorded, but at the same time,
yes,
that you wanted this to win listener request. So it wasn't on the episode, but I remember you saying it.
Yeah. Oh, I was really pulling for it.
This is my favorite type of scary. It's a haunted house film. Lots of ghosts, lots of jump scares, lots of like, we have people investigating. We have people just being like, let's punch it to death.
But it's unique though. Like, it's not like every other haunted house film. It is weird. It stands on its own. I will make a case for it being a shared universe with When Evil Lurks, and I love that so much. I was into this movie.
I don't think it's much of a stretch at all. I mean, they actually use the phrase rotten and signify that this isn't a rotten, this is a dead.
Right.
I think that that does set up that in this universe that we're watching the movie Terrified in, rottens are a thing.
Right, but also she's got the kit. She's got the gold orb.
She does.
She's got all of it. Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
There's some sort of midichlorian wacky science explanation for ghosts, but I also love that.
Yeah, well, but it's also, it's in the water like it was in the crops.
It's microbes from another universe.
Yeah.
I think it's the, like, pesticide companies dumping in rivers that gets in the drinking water stuff. I thought it had similar vibes to When Evil Lurks. Yeah, and maybe it's just because we did it so recently.
I thought it was much scarier.
I did think this was scarier. I was building a case for it in my mind, and I was like, awesome. I think you could argue this. And then she pulled out that gold weird sextant kit, and I was like, holy shit, yes! Like, it is the same universe! I was very excited.
The only thing she was missing was the telescope. Like, she had pretty much everything else.
We just don't know what else was on the table. Maybe she had, maybe telescopes don't work on wall crack ghosts.
I did think they referenced priests a few times. Yeah, so I don't know, but what I like about these films is they don't waste time, like,
no.
having scenes where, like, they explain what the cops are doing.
I did love that, like, the first almost conversation is like, hey, the drain is telling me it's going to kill me or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's immediately into a horror movie. There is no establishment. You just get it along the way, which I liked. I thought it worked really well in this movie.
This dude, Demian Runga, king of pacing. Holy shit. Yeah. 'Cause like, When Evil Lurks is only 93 minutes long, and no minute is wasted. Like, it goes from Jump Street all the way to like 60 miles per hour instantly.
Yeah.
This movie, somehow even faster. Because like, I texted you guys as I was watching this last night, because I had paused to like go get another drink or whatever and realized I was an hour into the movie. And I was like, I feel like I just started this movie. Like, did I miss anything? Like, I don't think so. Like, a bunch of things have happened. Like, holy shit, this movie flies.
It does.
Pacing wise, it is awesome.
The scares got me. I liked it. I thought it was really effective of like starting with that couple and then jumping to the neighbor and then jumping to the woman and just being like, and then just the cop.
It almost like jumps back in time because the inciting incident in the movie is actually the last sort of victim. Maybe not last victim, but it's like,
No. It's the middle victim.
Yeah, it is the middle victim that like sends the husband to jail because of course the cops would think he killed her.
No. The middle victim is the one who causes the kid to die, but also caused the crack in the house next door. So everything, that's the nest. That's why they call it the nest, because everything bleeds out from that middle victim.
Stupid Walter.
Fucking Walter.
Who does the most unrealistic thing I've ever seen, staying in that house for 2 weeks.
Same. But the death we were talking about was the wife dying that sent.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was talking about that one, not the one you were talking about.
No. It doesn't. The movie starts with the wife. That's not where the haunting starts.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, it was really cool that it starts with the wife dying and then it jumps back in time to Walter's leading up to her death.
Yes. But that's what I was saying. Like, because you said, I think it actually starts with the last victim. It doesn't.
No, I corrected myself. It's the middle one because you have all the investigative deaths.
Yeah. No, it's like middle way.
Yeah.
But I thought that was cool. Then it flashes back to Walter like being like, I bought this house. I was like, I would leave my house and then instead of do what he did.
I would do what the cop did and like burn the house down. Like, but I would have done that day one.
Yeah, exactly.
The cop did exactly what I would do every time. I'd be like, oh, okay, there's a ghost.
Yeah.
And he just pulls his gun out. And then I was like, if he doesn't shoot this fucking gun.
I wrote in my notes, why did it take 81 minutes for anyone to shoot anything? Like, I would have shot immediately. He had a gun the whole time.
Every character in this film tells him, put the gun away. And that is my favorite thing about everything about this film. Because he's like, it's in the cabinet. And they're like, just put it away.
I'm just going to shoot it in the cabinet. I love that guy, though. First of all, I thought he was kind of cute and he had Joey Fatone energy.
He really did. Oh, my God.
He really does.
Yeah.
But then, like, literally everything in the movie, he's like, I'm going to fucking go. Yeah, no thanks. I want to leave. And it's only everyone else talking him into it. And then when there's no one left to talk him into it, he was like, great, let's burn it to the ground. I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah, Funes.
Yeah, it's all you can do. I mean, I'm sure Todd was happy. I was happy because I was like, if I was this guy, I would just burn everything up and leave.
Was great.
Yes,
because they're like, save us, and he was like, you didn't teach me how to do any of that before you all died.
No, I don't know what this weird spear and sextant thing is, which I do like. Now if you watch this and When Evil Lurks together, that's two movies in a row that it's been like, we have the tools, how do they work? too late. That person is dead.
Well, we saw her actually use them, which I liked, but it seemed to just be telling her information.
And like where it was, and yeah.
It's crazy though.
Which we don't get that much of a close up in When Evil Lurks, so that may have been what she was using it for too, and then was just also setting up a weird spear.
I would say the series of scenes with the kid sitting at the table were one of the creepiest things I've seen lately on film.
When it slowly turns its head to the kid at the door, and the kid at the door is like just staring at it, I would have immediately run away. Me as an adult,
yeah.
Like if I saw that.
The fact that the kid like runs but then comes back to video, get it on his phone.
Oh, it's the cops page. You always got to keep them on check. You got to get your phone out and start recording
them.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I get it. That's just a well-trained kid.
I also love that this is a ghost movie in modern times where I feel like the thing with ghost movies is that like, oh, the camera stopped working or this time we just never got it on camera. Multiple people in this movie get it on camera,
yeah.
And it doesn't fucking matter because what do you even do? It's like, yeah, no, there's a guy under his bed and in the closet, which I did love that it's like the places that it would hide when you were a child and afraid is where it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love that. And so it's like, no. We have multiple instances of it on camera. There is proof. What are you going to do? I don't know. What do you even do if there's a guy? Like, what happened?
I thought it was a really cool explanation for how it all works. Like,
yes.
You know, it's like dimensions and they're shaped like an orange and sometimes things seep through, usually through the water supply, that kind of stuff.
I did like the perspective and
dude.
You could see them because it kind of explains.
Yes, dude. The biggest scare of the movie is when one of the investigators is talking to the cop on the phone.
Yes.
And he's like looking back and forth between the window panes.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, you know it's gonna happen, but I still like screamed when it was close.
I did not know it was gonna pop up right there, and it scared the shit out of me.
What podcast are you on right now?
I thought it was gonna pop up back with the officer because I thought it was like stuck in that house or whatever, and then I was like, oh, it got me.
Oh no, I knew it was gonna pop over like that, and it still scared me. This movie I hated. I'm never gonna watch it again unless I'm forced to by these fine people. And listen, I get that it's great. It is great.
It's great.
I can objectively say it is good at what it's doing. I just fucking hate everything about what it's doing.
Sure.
And I did not care for it.
It's got very earned jump scares
because
they got me too.
Fuck.
So we're great.
Yes.
But I loved the explanation of light and darkness, and it exists in places where both things exist at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is why it's always like in cabinets and stuff, because like Schrodinger's cabinet. Like, it's dark until you open the cabinet door and then you can't see it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's in there until you illuminate it, then you can't see, which is the only way they end up seeing it is, like, A, on camera when the lights are out, and B, when he, like, goes around to view the bed from a different angle.
Yeah, it's, like, through the window panes.
That was wild.
Yeah. It does such a good job of, like, in very different ways,
yes.
Driving home the point that a different vantage point
right.
is how you see it.
Right.
So, like, at the end, when we don't see the doctor who has now come back, I mean, we never actually see it, but they identify who it is in the scene.
Right.
And then all you see is the chair move and then it gets thrown towards the camera. Like,
love it.
It's so scary. But like, I completely buy that from a different perspective, he can see them or see him, I should say.
Right.
You know, because they've set that up.
I also think that there is something in this movie that they don't explicitly lay out until that ending scene where it's like, if it has touched you, you can see it.
Yeah.
So it's almost this idea of like, you have been infected by the fear, the trauma, whatever you want to call it, which means you have the different vantage point to see what other people are not ready for.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everyone, even in the stakeout, doesn't quite see it until they've already kind of encountered it one time. So it's like all the inspectors or investigators have seen this before, but it takes that cop, like the whole silverware fiasco, for him to be like, what the fuck? Like, there's something in this house.
Yeah.
Oh, when it was sucking the blood up into the cabinet, I was like, oh.
I thought that shit was so cool. Because you see it actually, like, go, the blood is going up his hand, which I'm sure they just, like, shot in reverse or whatever, but, like,
probably.
The way the camera is moving, it, like, it does a really good job of making it not seem like it was shot in reverse, which he also did with the goat
yes.
in When Evil Lurks.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw that, but someone shared on Facebook how he did did that because there was a whole article on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just really good at doing that. Or his director of photography is. I'm not sure if it's him or somebody else who shoots it, but it's really well done.
I really loved too that I felt like this definitely felt like a familiar horror movie in that, like, I think I texted you guys that this is Argentinian Ed Lorraine, and I love that. But I feel like even within that framework, it does things that we have not seen before. I feel like if I pick out a random haunted house movie, I can predict a lot of the scares that are going to happen. In this movie, I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And he killed a kid again? Like, man, this guy must hate kids.
Can we just talk about that for 1 second? Because that kid backed away slowly into the street. Like,
yeah.
Slowly. He had been in the middle of the street for about 20 seconds before that bus hit him. And all I'm saying is that bus driver had a grudge and saw a chance to take it out on that child.
Well, if you notice the scene where the neighbor comes out of the house, the bus driver flees the bus and sprints down the street.
Yeah, runs away. Yes. He leaves the bus and runs.
Because he knows he's in trouble. Because
he is guilty AF.
Yes. He's just sick of these kids playing soccer in the street, and he's had enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like this better than When Evil Lurks. I really did. I like this better when I stacked the two films. I wanted When Evil Lurks to be scarier. I think When Evil Lurks is cool, but this kind of does with the scares plus the coolness factor together.
This was less scary for me, but When Evil Lurks is the type of scare that gets me. So for me, I prefer it.
No way. Yeah,
this was definitely scarier for me, although I can't remember what I gave When Evil Lurks on the scary scale.
You gave it like a 6.
Oh, yeah. So this is definitely scarier than that. Well, we'll talk about it when we get to scary scale, but yeah. This is definitely higher than that.
That last half hour with the cop just going house to house, getting scared at 3 haunted houses, I'm just like, bro.
I did think it was cool that it wasn't just a haunted house. It was a haunted neighborhood that started with, like,
that was great.
I thought that was really cool and a really nice little, like, I guess, twist on the haunted house, quote unquote.
Right.
Like, movie. I thought that was really cool.
Yes.
He's mastered the don't over-explain your stuff. Like,
yes!
Show enough to get intrigued, but don't over-explain it. I think, you know, like, some of our metaphored movies or some of our movies with horror tropes, like, they overexplain. You're like, in 1956, this man was here, and then the electricity struck his TV, and then he touched it, and then he turned into a ghost that travels through television. And you're like, okay, I didn't just make him be scary. I don't need all of that. So he's really mastered the show don't tell, and then don't overexplain. I like that.
I do like that in Mikey's example, I'm pretty sure he just described the villain from the Wes Craven movie Shocker.
That's what I thought. I was like, is that Shocker?
He was electrocuted in an electric chair and then went into television.
Oh, sorry.
So
sorry.
It was a similar but different.
Yeah, sorry. That's on me. That's on me. I apologize.
Uh-huh. Don't talk about one of my favorite Wes Craven films.
Honestly, Mikey, I think that movie slaps. We did an episode on it.
I would have loved to have done that with Paige. Yeah.
I mean, we could always revisit it, baby.
Have you seen that, Paige?
No, I've never seen Shocker.
Paige, it is amazing.
It's an experience, a cinematic experience.
I mean, I feel like it's going to be amazing in the same way that, like, Hellraiser 2 is.
It's way better than Hellraiser 2. It's like if Freddy Krueger's gloves were, like, electricity.
Love it.
And you could just kill people with it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No notes. Stop drilling. You've hit oil.
I do love that this movie, like, definitively shows what it takes for a, like, policeman to become, like, a firefighter.
Right.
Because he goes from, like, you know, not even wanting to use his gun to, like, arsonist very quickly over the course of this evening.
He wanted to use his gun. What are y'all talking about?
Oh, yeah, he did.
I will say, the whole time I was there, I was like, you didn't bring your radio with you on this whole thing? And then, like, finally, when he gets back to his car and radios in, I was like, bro, you should have called for an ambulance. You could have called for an ambulance at the house, called for backup.
Yep.
Don't leave your radio behind.
What are you doing, Argentinian police?
I do love that this movie practically gets rid of phones, where, like, his battery dies, and he's like, ah, fuck it. It doesn't do the, like, phones mysteriously don't work here. And it's like, no. Everyone had phones. No one picked them up.
If my phone went dead, I'm going home. I'm going home to get my charger. Like, I'm not operating as a human without my phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel like I wouldn't plug anything in that house. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm like, I know it's in the water. Maybe it's in the power. They come from the same civic organization. Maybe they're both infected.
It's definitely in the walls, and so is electricity. So, like, I ain't fucking with anything. I honestly am not going to the house. I'm doing what the cop did and burning it down and then leaving.
Has anyone questioned DWP? is what I'm saying. No.
I don't know what DWP is.
Oh, Division of Water and Power.
Oh, okay.
That's why, like, we have LADWP, but, like, anyway, but.
Yeah, we just have, like, Nashville Electric and Nashville Water. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But for me, When Evil Lurks was scarier. I won't rate this as high on a scary scale.
Okay.
But I did love it. Like, I had an equally good time. I think that When Evil Lurks is just the type of scare that gets me more, and this is not.
Yeah.
But I was on board for this entire movie. The last half hour of this movie, I was like cackling in my living room because I was like, what's next?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? So super loved. There's not as many fun facts available for this, just to give you a heads up ahead of time.
Well, this is his first like bigger movie.
Yes.
And like people weren't necessarily like documenting stuff on an indie low budget set, you know? So like that kind of stuff's going to be harder to come by.
Exactly. Like, so on this one, because this came out in 2017 outside of the U.S., 2018 in the U.S.
Yeah.
And people interviewed him a little bit at the time because they were like, this is surprisingly good. It's your first movie. Like, cool. And then they didn't ask him anything else about it. And then allegedly during pandemic, he was working on a sequel to this. I think that sequel became When Evil Lurks.
Okay, that makes sense.
Where it ends up being like a spiritual. Maybe there's still a sequel to this in progress, but I think you could make a very good argument for these two movies existing within the same universe.
I think they're similar themes.
Yes.
Similar like ideologies as far as what can kill them or what can take care of it. You know,
right.
Like the sextant from When Evil Lurks and the stuff that she was using.
Right, and they're worried about moving him.
Yes.
And like all kinds of stuff.
So far, fire is the only thing that's really seems to be taking care of it.
Yeah, it seems like fire works for all of this.
Fire always works, guys. But the brother from When Evil Lurks, the younger brother, is in this movie. He's Walter.
Yes.
In this movie. And if Mikey mentioned Priest, I didn't see them mention Priest, and we don't have any Priest characters, but that would make it a different universe than When Evil Lurks. But
No. Well, because When Evil Lurks had priests, remember? Because the old lady...
No, When Evil Lurks is a post-religious universe. They talk about
Well, no, but remember, the old lady said, I used to be a priest.
I know.
So it could just be the same universe in a slightly later time.
Well, it's 12 years ago. Yeah.
It could also be a translation thing.
It could be.
I feel like we missed some of the context with the... with the religious stuff, because again, he doesn't over explain, which I like. I'd rather have conversations like this than be like, well, that was a really dumb explanation why there were no priests there.
Yeah.
Well, and this movie doesn't set a time, so this movie can exist outside of time to a degree,
or it could be 14 years before When Evil Lurks take place, when priests were still around. And I guess
that's
they
what I'm saying.
Like, yeah absolutely.
Yeah they don't establish that. Also, this is taking place in a different place. It is still Argentina.
It's Buenos Aires, right?
It's Buenos Aires.
I thought
yeah.
so yeah
I really hope with the success of these two films, but Evil Lurks was huge, that somebody throws this guy like $20 million and is like, scare the shit out of us.
Holy shit.
I wouldn't be shocked if he wasn't working on a much bigger budget movie right now, just because I think you should back up a truck for this dude. He's so good.
Or they'll do like Del Toro.
Yeah.
And bring him over here and like try to have him make some stuff. I mean, like he's very talented.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I largely hate everything he's made because it's so good and scary. But yeah, he should be able to work for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I'm also glad that everyone, he does reuse some actors like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And if you look up those people on IMDb, since this came out, they have just steadily worked like literally multiple projects a year. Like up until When Evil Lurks came out. And I think they're just going to continue to work.
I mean, that's awesome.
It's great.
And I think a lot of that is, I'm sure the movies gave them a lot of like reach because the movies did really well, but also they're really good in them. Like all of the actors in this, I think, do a great job. Even the kids do great jobs, which like,
oh, yeah.
In a lot of like low budget or like indie movies, like children actors are not great,
mm-hmm.
but everyone crushes it in this movie, which is why I think it does so well. I do think this movie has a response that I'm going to start using to anyone. If anyone ever tells me that they wrote a book, and they asked me if I read it, I'm going to respond with, yeah, the cover was great.
I love that.
I was like, God damn, that was so brutal.
Such a burn. I don't know if it was a burn. It felt like a burn. And I was like, I think she's being sarcastic.
It was a burn for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my headcanon. I think her and the other doctor, mainly her, Dr. Albrecht, I think she is the same kind of person as, what's her name, Mithra in When Evil Lurks?
Yes.
I think they're of the same, like, evil fighting group, if that makes sense.
Well, they're fucking terrible because not one of them has fought any evil and they all die in all the films.
But I think maybe this movie takes place in the time where they're just realizing that maybe priests can't help, because this is when it started to bleed into, like, autopsies and stuff. So they're starting to figure it out. And so they're starting to develop those tools. Maybe that's why we don't see her with as big of a kit, but we do see her with one.
I did wonder if, like, if it was like they were learning at this stage,
yes,
how to do it.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then by the time you get to Mithra later, she's like, man, it was a fucking shit show. And there were people who taught us and people who worked with us, but, like, there's only a few of us left. I think that's what we are seeing. And if you watched these in order, maybe that would be a little more obvious. But yeah, because we watched them backwards.
Yeah. But I could see that, like, that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Could see that.
Yeah.
I do wonder what this guy's doing next, because he's great.
I don't know. I'm going to see it regardless. Yeah. Like, I finished this movie and I was like, well, I've added a list to my always watches where, like, you know how if Jordan Peele puts a movie out, I'm going opening weekend. I don't even need to know what the movie is. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
This one, absolutely.
Yeah.
I will go see whatever his next movie is. This is part of the overall great horror renaissance that we are having.
Yeah.
But I also love that these are foreign films that are now going to get a wider audience. There was a push for Guillermo del Toro to remake this movie. I don't think they should. Leave it as is.
Yeah.
Watch it with the subtitles. It's so worth it. Like, we don't need a new version of this. Just watch this awesome version.
It is very scary. But let's just go through it scene by scene so we can, like, walk them through it.
Yes. Minute 0, we open on a lady listening to her drain. That should tell you that something is fucking wrong.
Yeah. How often have you stood around listening to your drain?
Oh, you mean my girlfriend?
Oh, my God. Boo. Mikey.
She's a drain. You guys get it?
Mikey is single, lady.
Boom.
Boo.
Boo indeed, Paige.
I also love that, like, as the audience, we are not, we don't hear what she's hearing. We hear noises, but she's like, no, I heard human voices.
Yes.
And we never hear them. And this happens more than once in the drains because other people listen in too.
Yeah.
We just never hear what they're hearing.
What I loved about this scene was it reminded me of work because her blink rate is really decreased.
Oh, interesting.
And so, like,
oh yeah,
some people with psychosis, people are like, they've got the look, or like in the crisis world, you're like, oh, they're like, you can tell. And usually there's something that people can't process really well, like an uneasy feeling you get when you look at somebody or someone with untreated schizophrenia or something. It's blink rate.
Oh,
an
yeah,
unnatural blink rate of like more or less. It makes people feel very uncomfortable and like something is wrong, but like you, unless you're looking for it, you really don't know what you're feeling and why. It's kind of like instinctual.
That's very interesting.
And like when adrenaline's up, so like you can look at videos of people who are about to die of suicide or commit murder and their blink rate is like drastically decreased and like it's very unsettling. So she blinks like once in this whole like 3-minute scene that I rewound and rewatched it because I was like, I don't think she's blinking at all. So if someone tells you they're hearing voices and they're not blinking at all, you probably want to get them some help.
Interesting.
But like very creepy inside that. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, or she was just doing a good job with that take.
Yeah.
But it like it very much reminded me of work.
Did you notice the same with Walter later on?
No, I didn't notice the same with Walter. This scene I noticed more so.
Okay. Because yeah, she is listening to the drain and she is clearly like hearing something.
Yeah.
But with Walter, I noticed the giant ghost coming out of the cabinet,
yeah,
to murder him.
Sure.
Yeah, that was scary as fuck. Yeah, that's what I noticed too.
I stopped paying attention later on because I was like, oh no, this is scary.
So her husband comes home and he's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, there's something in the drain. And she's like, I know what I fucking heard. And he's like, no. But in order to like brush it off, because he's like, you didn't hear anything. I don't hear anything. He tells her, he's like, hey, do you remember that dog we hit the other day? It's alive. That thing is like Highlander. And I was like, oh no,
I know.
Pet Cemetery.
Well, like, I thought it was from, if you remember in When Evil Lurks, that happens. Like,
yes,
that dog. I was like, don't trust that dog.
You think the same thing happened to the dog that happened to the kid?
Yes. So they go to sleep. They're just having like a normal day as a couple. And again, it's like minute 3 of this movie. Like, we have barely been in it.
I know. And if Natalie told me what this lady told her husband when he got home from work, it wouldn't cut to her and I asleep in bed. It would cut to us in our car driving away from the house that is now on fire. Like, no.
Most likely in real life, if someone tells you, like, I'm hearing a voice from the drain, and I'd be like, what's it saying? You know, like, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Right. Well, because she says, it says it's going to kill me.
Let's go get you to talk to somebody. That's really stressful.
Yeah. You're not blinking a whole lot, babe.
The reason I wrote off them going to sleep is because he says, he's like, yeah, that guy's remodeling next door, and I hear every fucking sentence of it. Like, I can't stop hearing it, which we will establish later in the movie when we flash back. So I felt like maybe that was his explanation, is they were actually hearing Walter through the drains, which, like, hey, maybe, I don't know. So I could see people being like, you're right, of course there's not people in the drains. We're going to bed. Like, you know, I could see her being like, you're right, I was probably just hearing Walter, and like writing it off in her own head. Maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Like her being like, yeah, no, I couldn't have heard that. You're right. That sounds crazy.
I mean, your drain telling you it's going to kill you is crazy. So like,
yeah,
I could see why he might be able to maybe unintentionally gaslight her into believing that that is not actually happening.
Sure.
I don't think he's done anything malicious by saying that, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they go to sleep. She gets up early in the morning. We do establish it's like 5 a.m. So she gets up to go to the bathroom, and hey, maybe she's just using the bathroom. Maybe she's getting up for the day. We don't know. But we hear banging, like really hard banging.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
In the shower.
You know that kind of banging where you know someone's got to be killing themselves in the shower? That kind of banging?
Except they're not. It's like, that's such a wild thing, because her husband gets up, goes next door, and is like, can you stop doing construction? It's 5 in the morning.
I'd be so pissed if I was his neighbor. He went to his neighbor and blamed his neighbor for even checking his own house and wife.
Oh, because the banging, I think we find out, is coming from inside his own bathroom.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It is, but Walter's already dead.
Oh, yeah.
At this point. Like, by the time he goes to, like, buzz him and something's answering but not saying anything.
Right.
I would be mad if I was the other neighbors who were just like, quit yelling on the street at 5 in the fucking morning.
Yeah, why did you walk to your neighbor's house in just your boxers to yell at him? It's like, what are you doing, bro? Also, the issue is within your own house. Get that shit in order.
Sure, but nobody knows that.
I know.
And like, this is the exact reason why our neighbors at the apartment complex were terrified of Jake, with no need. He wasn't going to hurt anybody, but our neighbors immediately to the right of us had a dog that they'd never trained ever at all, that they would just let it bark forever. Insane. And it would be like 4 in the morning, and Jake would be like, I only have another hour to sleep before I have to be at work at 6 or whatever. And so more than once, he just threw open our front door because it was kitty corner to theirs and just went, shut the fucking dog up. And people were like, oh my God. Oh my God.
That is so funny because like, Jake is like the nicest guy, yes, I've ever met. So the fact that he did anything, not even like anything at all, it must have been a ton of times.
Oh, it was constant. And here's the thing about Jake. He's the most wonderful, lovely, friendly man.
He's literally like a lumberjack teddy bear. Like, I love the, yes, man. He's awesome.
He does value his sleep very heavily, though.
Yeah.
And hey, constant barking at 4 in the morning in a place where you share walls. Yeah, that's a problem. But their kids would run from him. Like, Jake would come outside to like go to work or whatever, and those kids would take off. And then every time they saw me, they'd be like, I'm so sorry. But yeah, so this is what he goes. He pulls a Jake and then goes, yeah, to his neighbor and is like, shut the fuck up. Like, then he goes back into his house. He's still hearing the banging, but now that he's more awake, I think he's kind of triangulating where it is in the house and realizes it's in his own bathroom. I don't know if either of you guys have done this where you like hear something and you wake up and you're like, what the fuck? What is it? And then as you kind of get more awake, you're like, oh, it's the cat, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of figure it, like, or in Mikey's case, it's Macy trying to escape or doing some mischiefs.
She's in the backyard right now. Mischiefs.
If I had unlimited money, I would produce a Air Bud style The Great Escape featuring your dog trying to break out of your backyard.
She likes the back. She won't leave me. She's not trying to get out. She's just trying to inflict as much emotional damage and physical damage on my property as possible.
While working each limb independently. Your dog is the craziest dog I've ever seen.
I can open the gate. She's not going to leave. She's very loyal to hurting me.
It's a toxic relationship.
She's a very loyal abuser, is what you're saying. I do like that you think she's doing it on purpose to emotionally abuse you.
Yeah.
She's a dog.
They have thoughts and feelings. You think toddlers can't emotionally abuse you? They operate at a toddler level.
Does he add an extra syllable to that word, Paige?
Toddler.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They said dogs can understand like 240 words or something.
Is one of them toddlers?
Toddlers.
That's like me as a child, like a baby. Like, it's like I would be a toddler.
Now you're putting it together.
Don't pretend like that was a 4D joke, Mikey.
It is a 4D joke. No one's going to know.
It is now, sure, because we got here. But yeah, that wasn't premeditated.
He edited it to seem like it wasn't, but it was. Oh, wow. You guys don't know. Wow.
You're going to blame the edit. The man who never listens to the podcasts, who knows? I do you a lot of favors.
I listen all the time, but you edit out when I say it.
No, that's never happened.
Yeah, I listen to the podcast every episode. He just edits out when I say that and edits in. I never listen to the episode.
This is factually untrue.
That'd be so much work.
Mikey's been dead since 2020. He died of COVID. I've been using AI to replace him.
We just cobble it together and be like, that's why we keep picking movies with hurt children, because then we can just reuse.
Because when Mikey was still with us, he talked a lot about punching children. So
yeah.
I have an unrelated question about this film. I know we're in the middle of a different scene, but I wanted to bring it up. Why was there a spoon in milk? I don't understand.
Because he was eating cereal?
No, it was in a glass of milk.
The spoon was in the it was in the glass.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I honestly thought that it was to signify something was out of place, because he was eating cereal. There was cereal there.
That dumbass ghost kid put his spoon in the glass of milk.
Are you going to bully the ghost kid? Who is literally just a corpse sitting at a table, by the way.
Eating his cereal wrong like a fucking loser.
If it was chocolate milk, I'd have no questions. So maybe it's some sort of flavored milk that I don't understand.
You get some Nesquik, you spin it up. I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
It could have been because something is out of place, because they do pick the spoon up out of the milk and they're kind of like, what the fuck?
He was drinking a well-known cereal. Ucky Charms. Because he's dead. Do you guys get it?
Yeah, I get it. Because Dig'em Frog came to get him out of the cemetery.
Stupid kid putting a spoon in his glass of milk. Can't hear a bus coming, can't eat your cereal right. Darwin at work.
No. Boo.
Wow. Boo. I still maintain that that bus driver murdered that child on purpose. And I don't think it was specifically because it was that child. I think it's because he was a child playing in the street and that bus driver had had enough of that.
It wasn't first degree. It was like manslaughter at most. Or kid slaughter, whatever you want to call it.
It's still manslaughter, even if it's a child. You're just heads up.
Adolescent slaughters. Slaughterhouse 5-year-old.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Slaughter bus 5-year-olds.
I've been, my dark humor has been slipping out in like the day-to-day life, like at the gym or whatever. And people don't like that. So I have to like pretend that I don't have a dark sense of humor most of the time.
So sorry. Well, I'm glad we got to murder children in front of you today. You're welcome.
What's your spoon for your glass of milk and a fork for your cereal, you dumbass kid?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of cereal milk, but I like my cereal to be wet. So maybe a fork's not a bad option.
A bowl of cereal is not on the top 100 meals I would want if I crawled out of my grave.
I don't think he got it. I think his mom got it for him.
Yeah, I don't think he came out of the grave to have cereal, Mikey.
He wasn't like, must eat Ucky Charms like a zombie craving cereal instead of brains.
I think he and the dog are a symptom of the thing that is happening in the houses.
Give me my Depressios. It's the opposite of
Cheerios. I liked it.
I feel like it should be Frankenberry or Count Chocula, both cereal mascots who have risen from the dead.
True. And are in the horror oeuvre. I didn't realize it, but there are horror cereals out there.
Of course.
That's fun.
They come out at Halloween.
Yeah.
And Booberry, the ghost one.
It's on the box! Booberry. Come on.
Anyway, so he goes inside and is like, I think it's coming from my own bathroom. And opens the bathroom. And his wife is clattering around in the shower.
She has made the biggest mess in the bathroom, and he's going to have to clean it up because that's the kind of relationship they have, apparently.
It is what it is. But she's literally floating around in the air, smacking into the walls. It is so disconcerting. It's so wild. And she's floating and hitting the walls as if she is hanging from much higher, but she's not hanging. She's just floating in the air.
It's wild that we're on like minute five in this, because you're just like, oh, okay. Oh, shit. This is going to be like a real thing. Because like usually this would be a big reveal halfway through a movie, but this is like 4 minutes in.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Incantation, where like 10 minutes in, you had a whole Conjuring 2 in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I hated this part a lot. It was very scary because she is very clearly floating and just like smashing herself or... I mean, I would assume that it's the, you know, entity or whatever
yes.
that's doing this. We just can't see it from our perspective. But at this point, I don't know that, right? I'm just seeing this right. lady float and like blood everywhere. And then her husband comes over and like grabs her, just holding her.
He's like trying to stop yeah. her from floating and he can't.
Holding her in place. And he's like holding her around the neck, just again, to hold her in place.
Sure, sure.
But at that moment, I was like, oh, he's going to jail forever because
oh, yeah.
his hands are around her neck. And well, yeah. And
we do see that. From this point on, he is in jail.
Yes.
It's a nice jail, yeah. but he's in jail.
He would be.
I mean, it makes me think, like, maybe this happened to OJ.
No. No, because that took place predominantly outside in the open where there's a lot of light. So by the rules of the movie, no. But also, no.
I just wanted to pick a case that was so long ago that maybe not everyone will be mad about it.
Bro, you picked the most famous case of all time.
Should have gone with like a Jack the Ripper or something like that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jack the Ill-Timed is his real name because he just like shows up and goes to murdering women all around him.
I like that you were like, I'm going to pick a case that maybe nobody knows. The most famous case in the last 30 years.
No, no, no. I said older case that maybe no one will get mad at.
Oh, no. People still mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Mikey is going to release a If I Did It book that talks about how he would have done it. So
how best to kill children.
Haunted children, clearly.
Haunted
Please.
Children.
Yes.
Anyway, we cut to the police station, which arguably is the nicest police station I've ever seen.
Is it a police station?
Yes.
I thought it was a prison.
It might be a prison, but it's the interrogation
or
the questioning room. Yeah, he's in jail. But it is. Like, have you ever seen a jail or an interrogation room or whatever that nice ever?
Oh, no.
In any American depiction of a prison?
No, we have for-profit prisons, which means they get nothing. Yeah, yeah, it's terrible. I don't think this was an interrogation room, though. I think this was like the visitor's room in a jail.
It depends on where you're at in the process of criminal justice. Because an interrogation room in a prison is different than an interview room at a precinct
yes.
or something like that, which is a very nice room with some couches. You get some coffee, you know.
Sure, sure, sure.
Let's get that confession.
Olivia Benson is like, look, I understand what you've gone through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but even for anything in a prison, this room looks pretty nice. And he's not cuffed. He's not. They just walk him in and they're like, have a seat. And they're like, so your wife is super dead and it's brutal and you're the head suspect.
I thought he went to a psych ward.
He might.
We honestly don't know where he is. So maybe.
At the last scene, that kind of reinforced it for me because he was like
sure.
wearing a robe and was like.
Well, he's wearing that same sweater every time. It is like a sweater, but it looks very cozy, which made me think maybe that was the case too. Except that they say, we're going to get you out of here because we know you're not guilty. But I guess that could still be a psych ward, too.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it says. I bet this is one of those things that, like, if you grew up in Argentina, like, you just know because it looks quintessentially like one of those down
sure,
there.
Sure, sure.
But we don't know what that is, you know?
Yeah.
Because we don't have things that nice because we live in a for-profit prison system.
Well, and a for-profit health system. So, like, you know.
Well, yeah, but we're talking specifically about prison right now.
Yeah, but if it's a psych ward, that's the health system, which is equally bad.
Oh, yeah. Our psych ward is just homelessness.
Yes.
Yeah, like you can thank Reagan for that.
And Kennedy.
Yeah, it is a little bit of shared both.
No one's cared about mental health until it's everywhere, and now people yeah. are like, caring. But like, we don't have time to go into it. But it's like a lot of historical context, and they didn't fund the community mental health system except for like 20% of recommended levels. It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anywho, it is either the interview room in some sort of correctional facility or the interview room at some sort of psychiatric facility. It is unclear.
It doesn't matter. It moves the plot forward.
Yeah, yeah.
It really really doesn't matter. You're right, Mikey, because it does like serve to be like this true crime podcast investigative journalist team is going to get you out of jail
right
after they do this paranormal investigation. And he's just like, whatever, man. Like, I don't think he really believes.
My wife is dead. I saw exactly. The most fucked up shit you yes. can fucking see.
I see ghosts everywhere now. I hate
yes.
this.
Yeah, I am the child from Sixth Sense. Like, it is bad.
All grown up. I do think that he believes that, like, something paranormal killed his wife. What I mean is I don't think anyone believes him.
Sure, of course.
And I don't think he thinks anyone ever will.
Correct. Yes, yeah.
So he's more or less just like, yeah, you can research or you can do your investigation, yeah, but, like,
I'm here forever, yeah, like, and hopefully the ghosts don't get me. Like, yeah,
if you don't die, you know where to find me, but, like, good luck yeah. not dying.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But they ask him, because these will be the investigators later.
Yeah.
But this is their start. Of basically trying to get his consent to do a stakeout in his house, which we'll come back in a bit. But for right now, they're like, what can you remember of the 2 weeks leading up to your wife's death? And he said, well, there was an accident, which we will find out is that bus hitting that kid. And he said, and Walter was remodeling at all hours of the night. It was really weird. Cut to Walter's story. Walter is at work doing what many of us in America have done, which is arguing with medical healthcare representatives to try and get appointments while on company time.
Paige, I felt so seen by this because I once got a call from my doctor's office. And that said, hey, remember that shot we were supposed to give you for,
yes.
It was a tetanus update shot because you're supposed to get one every 10 years now, apparently, and I hadn't done that since high school.
Sure.
So they were going to give me the 10-year tetanus booster. They called me 3 days later and said, well, we actually didn't inject you with that. We shot you up with something else.
What'd they shoot you with?
The flu vaccine.
Big government's at it again, getting those microchips in you.
Now he's got 5G.
Guys, I have gotten such great cell phone reception since then.
Ever since.
I was like, I'm sorry, what happened?
Yeah.
You were supposed to inject me with something and you injected me with something else. I mean, good for me, it wasn't like anything bad or anything like a treatment, just an illness I don't have or something like that.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, if you believe your phone call.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is it was a very stressful phone call for me and made me like really reconsider my healthcare provider.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would understand that. I feel like that's a reasonable. But let me do you a favor. Don't go and watch the John Oliver episode on medical boards. It will make you feel hopeless.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, if Dr. Death taught me anything, it's that they don't do their job. That's why the cops had to get involved after that man killed a bunch of people. Anyway.
And again, that's one season of Dr. Death. There are 5 seasons of Dr. Death.
Well, there's more than one medical board.
Different doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, horror fans, ever felt like your online privacy was being pulled apart and reassembled by some mad scientist? Well, before you transform into a Brundlefly, let me introduce you to NordVPN, your digital transportation device. Just like the 80s classic The Fly, where science breaks down the boundaries of nature, NordVPN breaks down the boundaries of internet security, keeping your data safe from prying eyes. With encryption so powerful, it's like it's sealed in a pod. With NordVPN, you can change your virtual location faster than Seth can teleport a stocking across the room. This comes in handy for accessing streaming content from all over the globe or getting the best online shopping deals without any creepy surprises. NordVPN is lightning fast, so you don't have to worry about lagging when you're streaming your favorite horror flicks. Plus, it protects up to 6 devices at once, so whether you're on your laptop or your phone or your iPad or whatever, your privacy is locked down. Are you ready to make the leap? Use our exclusive link, which is NordVPN. That's NordVPN.com/horrorvirgin and get a special deal. And listen, it's 3 to 4 months for free based upon which plan you sign up for. And again, if you want to get that awesome deal, go to NordVPN. That's NordVPN.com/horrorvirgin to get that sweet, sweet deal. And even better, it's totally risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't let hackers make a science experiment out of your personal data. Visit NordVPN.com/horrorvirgin and transform your internet experience today.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and then deported the parents back to their home countries, all while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who haven't been reunified. And although we as a community might feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get back on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and you believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. Again, that's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Anyway, so these people are not the police, but they're like, we're on the case. And there was a case in 1998, and we think maybe this could be related. We have no idea how long ago 1998 is to this guy. It could have just been recently. We don't know what that case in 1998 is, but it's in America. Maybe that'll come up in a future movie.
Who knows?
Fingers crossed. Regardless, we cut to Walter's story. Walter is on the phone being like, hi, I really need to see this one doctor. I've been taking my medication. It's not working. I haven't slept in weeks, and there's something going on that I'd really rather not discuss over the phone. It's kind of complicated. I really need to see this doctor. And they're like, yeah, no, they won't take your case. I'm so sorry. And he's like, please, I please call me back. We cut to, he goes home and he's trying to sleep. And we very clearly see why he hasn't slept. He's getting up every couple seconds to look under the bed because he thinks there's something under the bed. But every time he looks, there's nothing. But then he gets out of the bed.
Yeah.
And we see feet behind him.
He changes his perspective, Paige.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I thought that was so cool when they revealed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was so cool when they revealed that because it works perfectly with what we've seen literally in every death or haunting experience throughout the movie. Very cool.
Sure. Well, I love in this scene where he's always looking for something and it's always just exactly where he's not looking. So like,
yeah.
He looks under the bed, he can't see it, but the feet are walking away behind him into the bathroom. So like, we know there's something fucking there. We just don't know what.
Yeah.
He constantly has to plug the light back in, which much like in Leap Year, the outlet was under the bed. And I'm like, don't do this. Don't put your bed over outlets. Make them more accessible. But he's having to constantly plug the light back in. And whenever the light goes out, it shows up and walks around because it's in the darkness.
Yeah.
But he still can't really see it. He just knows it's going on. We're seeing it in the background. He can't make heads or tails of it, though. We cut to the next day. He gets up. He calls the doctor again. And the doctor's like, we cannot take your case without some sort of proof because a lot of people tell us this, but like not a lot of proof. And he's like, okay, I'll get your fucking proof. He comes back with a bunch of Sony Handycams.
Well, just one, really.
Yeah, that's true. Just the one.
That he puts on top of the closet.
Yeah.
It's really a wardrobe, not a closet, I guess, because it's not a room. It's like a thing you open in the room.
Right. But on the way home, he runs into his neighbor, and his neighbor is like the guy from before whose wife ended up dead. And this is clearly pre her death because she's around.
Yeah, we see her.
The neighbor is like, hey, what are you fucking doing at night, dude? Like, what the fuck? And he's like, because he's not doing anything. He's just trying to sleep. He's like, I'm remodeling. And he's like, okay, well, you cracked our shared wall.
Yeah, your remodel cracked the wall that I'm going to have to repair.
Right, which we do see him repairing with the wife still alive in like a couple scenes later. But Walter gets inside. He sets up cameras. He wakes up to a noise. He doesn't see anything. He checks the camera. And this, for me, is almost better than Paranormal Activity, where in the camera, it's like, no, there's a guy standing over your bed. And then he goes and hides in the wardrobe that you are standing next to.
It's terrifying.
I fucking hated it. This whole thing is so tense.
Ooh.
I hated it.
And Walter is like, I'm going to sleep here again tonight.
He's like, I got this.
Well, he gets a gun and he like pulls the closet open. There's nobody. He turns around. He goes to watch it back again. And behind him, it comes out of the closet because now the perspective has changed. And it just like he watches on the video as it scurries under the bed. And again, yes, Walter does stay there the next day. But the next morning, he's like not leaving the house anymore. All the furniture is moving around him and floating through the air, which again, later during the investigation, they'll be like, well, this is the nest. This is why everything, it's the most strong here.
Yeah.
But so he looks out the window. Or at least we think it's him. We never get confirmation that this is Walter or this is somebody else. We don't know because we only see just flits through the blinds as that little kid kicks the soccer ball onto his porch, picks it up, and then stops to drink out of like the faucet at the front of his house, like where you would attach a hose.
So in hindsight, I thought the kid seeing the thing behind the blinds, I thought that was the entity or whatever it was. But it was Walter that was saying, get out of here. Don't drink the water.
Like, don't drink the water. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was Walter trying to warn that kid to get away.
Sure.
But yeah.
Regardless. Because again, it is unclear. We don't know if Walter's still around or what. Probably. It does seem to be his voice. But that kid backs away slowly. And maybe he's seeing the guy behind Walter in the window. We don't know. We don't get the kid's vantage point.
Right.
But he just backs up slowly into the street and gets hit by a bus.
Yes.
Which I would say now, because this movie deals with shifting perspectives every time we shift stories. So it's like, well, my neighbor, Walter, was doing a thing. Okay, now it's Walter's story. This kid gets hit by a bus. Now it's Alicia's story.
Yeah.
Because Alicia is the kid's mother. They call in the police, and the police deputy, Funes, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Funes, he calls in his previous partner, Jano. Now, Jano was also the, I believe, coroner, medical examiner, whatever you want to call it.
He does say he did autopsies. So whatever job does that in Argentina, he did that as well. Yeah, it would probably be a medical examiner here, maybe coroner here.
Well, coroner definitely picks up your bodies. Medical examiner usually does the autopsies.
Yeah.
But sometimes those are the same person, depending. Anyway, it depends on your state. So Jano comes and Funes is like, hey, bruh, the reason I called you is because 4 days ago, this kid got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
We did a whole wake and a funeral. We buried him. I was there for all of it. That kid definitely got buried. And he's like, okay, so what's the problem? Meanwhile, they go into the house and there's like footsteps on the outside of the house and handprints or whatever. The mom, Alicia, is sitting there covered in mud and she's like catatonic. She's like, what the fuck is happening? And the deputy is like, yeah, all of my officers don't want to be here with it. They all swear they saw it move. And he's like, saw what move? And they go upstairs and it is that dead kid sitting across from a bowl of cereal and a glass of milk with a spoon in it, as Mikey pointed out earlier.
But it's a full out corpsed kid. Like, it's not just like the kid.
Yeah, no, it is a corpse child.
It looks like a practical effect and it's a corpse.
He is a rotting corpse. Yes,
it is a practical effect.
Yeah, it looks like one. I mean, and I mean that to say it looks pretty great.
Yeah,
because it does look like you dug up a body and put it and like staged it. Like it was eating, quote unquote, cereal.
With a spoon in its milk, like an idiot.
It was eating some Ucky Charms.
A body that has been embalmed, too. Like, it very much looks like something that they probably had to put back together a little bit to bury.
Yeah.
And then has now is up and posed. And I think making it look almost kind of mannequin like really kind of sells it a little bit.
It looks pretty good. That bus hit it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that funeral director did a great job piecing him back together. Like, that was fine work.
But guess who his favorite soccer player was and what he looks like right now?
I'm so scared, Paige.
You think I know the names of soccer players?
Messi.
I really did enjoy that joke, Mikey. I appreciate that.
Yep.
That's very funny.
He's a very famous soccer player named Messi.
He is very famous. Yes, Paige.
Cool.
He's like Beckham, but for younger people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because that I was like, I know Beckham and Pele, and that's the end of the list.
He'll be the third one.
Okay.
They'll add to that list.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. So this kid is posed, but Hano is like, yeah, no, I don't think it is what you think it is. And then he turns out the lights and he's like, it's definitely what you think it is, but we got to tell the mom that it's not because we're going to have to rebury this little kid. And he's like, what the fuck?
I thought that was so funny, but also never turn the light off. Like, why would you turn the light off to whisper to me? You can whisper without turning the light off. I would argue, Paige, that turning the light off and whispering makes a bigger scene of it. Like, it made you like change the lighting in the room. I would listen more because of that.
He wanted to see if it would move. He was trying to get it to move. That's why he turned the light out.
Well, you know what? Mission accomplished, and it scared the fuck out of me, even though we don't really see it in this at this point.
You don't see it. They turn, and it's already moved.
Yeah.
Like, but he does move.
This universe has established that these are terrible ghost fighters.
Yes, that they're not very successful, and they're clueless, and they don't know what to do.
Terrible.
But Paige, if you think about your like headcanon on where this lives in the quote When Evil Lurks universe,
right?
If they are in the just now figuring it out phase, like it makes sense that they'd be somewhat seeming bumbling because they don't. There's no book on how to fucking get rid of this right. kind of thing, you know.
Well, and when we hear Hano's stories about some of the autopsies later, that will come into play as well.
Oh, you mean that shitty book he wrote? Sorry.
The cover was nice. If you think about When Evil Lurks, because you're further out in the country, but they're like, well, the town has started the protocol. That means that at some point this happened on a big enough scale that they had to establish a protocol, and it has already made it out into the rural parts of Argentina. Is this what starts the protocol?
Yes, I think it could be.
Could be.
I mean, I would obviously defer to whatever the director and writer says about that, but like, I can definitely see how you got there, Paige.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think maybe just no one has asked yet. I bet if somebody asked, he's like, yeah, kind of spiritual sequel. I'm on a thing. Like, I've got like a vibe I'm working with. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the kid moved because he knocks over the cup of milk that no one wipes up for the rest of the movie, and that drove me fucking insane.
They got bigger problems, Paige. Like,
yeah, but it's gonna smell.
Paige, we're burning the house down at midnight. It doesn't matter.
Kids always smell.
And especially this kid, because he's been dead for 3 days or whatever.
And then they went back to his grave and the stone had been unturned.
I mean, Jesus is the first documented zombie that I know of. You're right.
That's actually not true, I don't think. I think other people have risen from the dead, yeah.
Loads of other deities have died and come back days later. That's a thing.
It's because that's how humans tell stories, going from life to death.
You know who didn't come back was my father.
So far, my father hasn't come back either, Mikey.
Mikey, didn't you see your dad like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Mikey was making a joke, and I was just like high-roading him with actual facts that my father actually dead.
No. I was just saying, I was like, hey, if you like say someone's dead and they're not, that's basically like wishing that they were dead.
I just meant like he went out for cigarettes.
Sure.
And in 3 days,
no, oh, Jesus Christ,
the gas station door was open, and he was gone.
And lo, we broke the bread of combos and bugles in his name. Now they are going to drug the mom and rebury this kid in cement. Sounds like a great idea to me.
I mean, it's a practical plan, and I love practical plans.
I do. I feel like they were like, what if he couldn't get back up? Like, that's their only plan? That was great.
Most graves do have a concrete crypt on them.
I was going to say that. Like,
really?
Here in America.
Yeah, most graves already take this precaution. Like, coffins are typically lowered into a like concrete slab that they then put a top on, and they then like put the dirt on top of to prevent exactly this.
Interesting.
I would assume there's a different reason, but
it's to protect against groundwater.
Yeah.
It really depends on like your water table in your area as to whether they do this, but
that's what they want you to think.
Exactly. It's a cover up by the government because they don't want zombies coming back and eating our cereals.
Yeah. Those are our cereals. My favorite family be a cremation family, so I have only ever seen one coffin lowered anywhere, and it was a Jewish funeral where they made us help bury it. So like, I did not see any concrete slabs, but it was up on a hill, so maybe they weren't as worried about the water table.
Okay, I just don't want him sitting at the table falling into Reese's Pieces. No, fucked. What is the? It's Reese's cereal.
Because he would bring. It is Reese's Pieces cereal. Like Reese's Pieces is the candy. Reese's Cup cereal is the cereal. But I understood where you were
failed.
Going.
I failed. I
Pieces
again.
Because he's a zombie and pieces of his body.
God dang it! I could have easily said he was frosting flaking all over the kitchen table.
Oh, gross! But he was. Anyway, so that's their plan. They go outside. They all have their, like, you know, Funes is going to handle the cemetery. Hano is going to, like, handle the mom. But he walks outside and he sees a woman taking a picture of Walter's house. And he's like, hey, who are you photographing this random house? And she's like, oh, I'm Dr. Albrecht. He's like, actually, I know who you are. I've been to your lectures for paranormal shit. What are you doing here? She's like, oh, well, this guy called me about this video. And she shows him the video and the pictures of the video. And he's like, she's like, they're not fake. So something fucked up is going on.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but across the street, like, what do you mean there's two of these things happening at once? And she's like, I don't think there's two. I think it's all part of the same thing.
Which it would have to be, right? Like, they're across the street from each other.
Yeah, what's the epicenter and how and why?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the house, the little kid that was friends with the other kid and playing soccer with him when he got hit by the bus comes back to get his toys and climbs over the fence in the backyard, as we establish later that they used to do all the time. And he stops and sees the kid through the window and knocks on the window, and the kid's head turns.
I hated it. It's not like a jump scare necessarily. It is just so fucking creepy. Ugh, I hated it.
The kid takes off, but stays close, because what happens is Hanno and Dr. Albrecht run into the room to see that the kid has moved. And Dr. Albrecht is like, oh, we've got to move this kid. Like, we got to get rid of this body, like, immediately.
Yeah. I do think, okay, so we find out later why that kid was there. The kid with the backpack.
The little kid?
Yeah.
The kid with the backpack?
Because they find his backpack when they rush back into the room, right? And they're like, oh, it must be the neighbor kid or whatever. But,
well, he had the backpack outside. This kid takes the backpack.
Yes. Well, because he dropped it outside, right?
Right.
Yeah. But he was there with his backpack to, quote, get his toys from his neighbor's house.
Yes.
I fully think he was going to steal his friend's toys.
Yes.
And honestly, here for it, because he doesn't need him anymore.
Yeah. But maybe that's why the dead kid stopped him and was just like, those are mine.
He's like, they're my fucking toys. I'm gonna need them in the afterlife.
I'm gonna need you to not touch my monster truck. Thank you. So they call the deputy over, and the three of them put the kid's body in the freezer while the mom is passed out.
Drugged, we should say.
Like, drugged.
Yeah.
And it is implied that they then take that body to the cemetery and bury it in cement. We don't see this. We are told that it happens by multiple people. So I have to assume it happened off screen. We just didn't see it. Meanwhile, we cut back to whatever the interview room is that they had that other guy in.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is all that's happened in the interim since you've been here. What we need is permission from you for us to go into your house and investigate so we can have like a stakeout at your house. And he's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm never going back to that place.
Yeah.
Like, why would I?
He's like, good luck. But like, no, yeah, you can absolutely do it. I mean, just like burn it down when you're done.
Sure. So the stakeout begins, and they've called an extra guy, an extra doctor. And so they spread out. So in Walter's house, it's the deputy and the new doctor.
Yeah.
In Alicia's house, it's Hanno. And in the neighbor's house, it's Albrecht, the one that shares the crack with Walter's house.
The crack in the wall. He doesn't share crack cocaine, for the record.
Maybe also that. You could pass a lot of things through that wall crack.
You can.
In Walter's house, shit is already weird. It's floating around. The furniture's everywhere. None of the lights work. All of the power is out.
Yeah.
And the doctor is like, this is the epicenter. This is where shit's the most fucked up. And they walk into the kitchen to find that the silverware is all like magnetically hung to the cabinet. There's something happening in the cabinet that's attracting the silverware to it.
It brings a really good flair to the kitchen that I like, and it's a good space saver.
Honestly, it made me think, I was like, what if that guy just installed magnets? Like, what if you just had magnets under your cabinets and you just threw things under your cabinets and saw what happened? I love that he kept running his hand through it. It was jingling,
it was like
almost like a chandelier.
Yeah, it was like wind chimes or whatever. I thought that was cool as shit too, Paige. But then a knife goes up through his hand.
Yes.
And I was like, what? It scared the hell out of me, man.
Well, and I love that he's like, hold on. Don't pull it off. Look, it's sucking the blood out of my hand. And that's where we get that reverse shot with the little blood trail.
It's very cool.
All right, David Blaine, let's get the fuck out of here.
But this is where the cop is like, oh, hell no. And just pulls a gun and goes to open the cabinet. There's nothing there. And the silverware moves. Because whatever it was,
didn't like guns. So guns do work. That's a fear response.
That's what I learned.
If it sucks blood, we could kill it.
Hell yeah.
They're able to pull the knife out. Meanwhile, in the neighboring home, Dr. Albrecht sets up The Kit, which is very much like the one we saw in When Evil Lurks, but on a smaller scale. And we see this one work in a different way where it seems to like magnetically direct where the activity is to kind of give her direction, which is when she kind of finds the crack in the wall. But then she gets a call from next door where the cop is like, yeah, I think I'm going to fucking go.
Like, right?
I'm out. And the other doctor takes the phone and is like, no, no, no. We found exactly what we were looking for. It's exactly what I thought it was. There's blood. We have to clean it up. But like, I think my theories were right. And she's like, great. You know what to do. Click. And we're like, who know what? What's happening?
Yeah.
Don't know.
I do not know what to do, but okay.
Do not know. But the other doctor bandages his hand and he's looking around the room with a flashlight and he's trying to convince the cop to stay.
Yeah.
And the cop's like, what is happening here? And he's like, you need to change your perspective. Look under the bed. There's nothing there, right? And he's like, but there is. He goes to a different angle.
This scared the fuck.
And lifts it up. And it's like a thing level monster of like multiple heads, multiple legs, multiple arms, splitting fucked up shit. It's wild.
It was like, at first, all you see is the feet. They're like dirty feet, like trying to like struggle to get away from the viewer's perspective.
Right.
And then at an angle at which you could not bend your back, you see a face come towards you.
Right.
Like right above the legs. So I was like, oh yes. My God, what is happening? It scared me so bad. I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it.
And so at that point, the cop is like, fuck no. Like, I can't clean up the blood. Because there's handprints in the blood when he goes to try and clean it up. And he knows they didn't leave those prints.
Yeah.
And so he runs over to his friend's house, Kitty Corner, in Alicia's house. And he's like, hey, man, we got to go. But his friend is not there. Because, and this is all happening at the same time. That's why we're kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
While he was still in the house with the thing under the bed, his friend called him looking through the window and was like, who else is in the house with you? And he's like, there's nobody in the house. And he's like, where are you standing? And he's like, I'm in this room. And he's like, yeah, like right next to you. And he's looking through two different window panes to change the perspective.
Because in one of the window panes, he can see it. In the other window pane, he can't.
He can't. And then as he shifts back and forth one time, it just appears in front of the window, smashing the window.
I screamed so
loud. I'm sure
loud.
You did.
Schmittens was laying on top of me because honestly, I was very nervous. And she, like, one of our kitties, sorry, is named Schmittens. And she will come lay on me sometimes when I'm nervous. She can just like tell. And I yelled because it scared me so much and like, you know, tensed my body up. And she just like jumped and ran. She was like, I can't help you with this. I'm out.
So it's wild. So there's glass everywhere. He can't find Hanno.
Yeah.
But he hears Hanno within the cabinet. But every time he opens the cabinet, it's nothing. But then when he pulls the back off the cabinet, so it would still be dark inside, you wouldn't have like opened it. He sees what looks like a bent up Hanno in a cabinet he could not fit in.
Right.
Like that cabinet's not big enough for him to be in. And he's like, oh shit, runs to Dr. Albrecht in the neighboring house, Walter's house. Dr. Albrecht is looking through the crack in the wall and she can see what looks like Walter, but it's like a different version of Walter.
She's like shining the flashlight on it and you see the silhouette of what looks like it might be Walter. It might be the entity, but the eyes
like are all fucked up.
The glow of the flashlight off those eyes, man. It was scary. I hated it.
Very creepy. And she's like, okay, this is what we're these creatures are here. And so he shows up and he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, you didn't drink any of that tap water, did you? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, wash the blood off your hands. We can't have blood here. And he's like, okay.
He does that. He does wash the blood off his hands with bottled water. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
He's like, okay, clearly there's something in the water because of what she's just asked me. So I'm not going to use tap water. Yeah.
As he's like, what do we do? What can we, she explains what they are, that they come through the water. They're an alternate dimension, but like kind of like the segments of an orange. We all live kind of next to each other and you can kind of see through.
Yeah.
And as she's explaining this, a giant claw comes out of the wall and just snatches her head off its fucking body.
It's terrifying. Crazy. I hated this part. From here to the end, it's like super fucking scary.
It's wild. And the deputy has a heart attack, which we have, like, they laid in some clues earlier that he has some health thing. In the translation, it kept coming up as coagulation. I think it was blood pressure.
That makes sense.
Like, maybe he had high blood pressure.
I mean, could be, because he does have a heart attack here.
But also, like, watching a monster go through a wall to murder someone in front of you could cause a heart attack.
Could cause, he also has a hearing aid.
He does. He has, like, a cochlear implant. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he has a heart attack. He wakes up on the floor, and he's like, I am fucked up. Like, and he's, like, trying to call. His phone is dead. We have no idea how long he's been on the floor.
But, Paige, when he's on the floor, you see the thing crawling out of the wall and crawling close to him. It's so scary. Yes. I hated that so much. And you just like glossed over it. Oh, it was so bad. Oh man.
Like he can't see it. And so you're kind of seeing it around him.
Yeah.
And it's just like a bloody mess basically. Yes. But who should come home but Alicia? Because he reaches up and we think there's something crawling out of the sink. But then when he looks again and reveals it's Alicia looking through the window, which is also scary.
Yes, it is.
But Alicia comes in and she's like, you made me feel like I had not seen my child come back from the dead. And then you went and buried him again. You made everyone think I was crazy. And I know that you were lying. And he's like, that's fine. And I'm willing to explain to you. But I need you to get me to a hospital. I have just had a fucking heart attack. And she's like, fine, I'll drive you. They go to get in the car. She's got the kid in the car because she went and dug him up. And he's like, oh no, absolutely not. He gets in his own truck to drive himself somewhere that is not here.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
He gets to a safe space and radios in, and his partner is like, yo, people came looking for you and I told them that you were in this place. Then I went to go check and you're not here. No one's here. Everything here is weird. And he's like, get out of the neighborhood. Like, run away. Like, listen. And he's like, well, okay, but where are you? And he's like, just get out.
Oh, shit. And when he gets in his vehicle before this, that's when you see the body run up towards it with the head that's like hanging.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that. Holy, oh my God. Yes.
Shit. That fucking terrified me too.
And for a second, I was like, did they rip that off from Smile? And I was like, no, Smile was after this. So like, this was first.
Oh yeah.
And it is, it's like a half Dr. Albrecht, half whatever the monster is. And she's like, there's still time. You can still save everyone. Doesn't handprint. He drives away because of course you fucking would.
So scary.
Terrifying. Ugh,
terrifying. He tells his partner to leave. And then he sits there for a moment and is like, okay, it's time to burn everything down, and drives back to the neighborhood with a trunk full of gasoline.
He makes the first good decision he's made all night.
Yep.
And goes to get gas to burn the house down.
Look, he tried to shoot at least four ghosts and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And they're all dead. He should have shot them.
I mean, yeah, that's on them. Because he could have handled this earlier on.
He could have shot through the cabinet door.
He could have Oscar Pistorius'd him. Is that what you're saying?
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to, like, you know, because he murdered that lady.
And maybe in that situation, that's the right call, I think.
I don't know. Anyway, he goes and douses the house. But as he's walking through the house, he sees the little boy's room and he goes to open the door. And that little boy's face is there. Like, the dead kid is like, hello. And he's like, pours gasoline. He's just like, even more resolved. We also see that Alicia has unfortunately died by, it would seem like, suicide, but because there's an entity in the house, you really don't know.
Yeah, I honestly thought maybe she wasn't just another victim because of it, you know?
It's possible. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I do love that he looks at her, he's like, this is so sad, because they had a pre-existing relationship. They had dated at some point in the past.
Yeah, I got the vibe that they had dated for a while, but he was not that child's father.
He said 2 years, I thought.
Yeah. It was a few years ago. But he was not the kid's father, but they had dated for a long time and remained friends after.
Yeah.
And so he's very sad looking at her body, and then he just pours gasoline on it. And you're just like, keep it going, bro. Like, let's go.
I mean, those are the right calls. Like, you've really got to burn everything down. Yeah,
absolutely. He trails it outside. He's trying to light it and the matches keep going out because his friend Hanno in zombie version with fucked up eyes is blowing them out.
So crazy.
He backs away and shoots at Hanno, but also shoots at the gasoline.
Yeah, which does ignite.
Ignites the gasoline. The whole thing burns down. He runs away. We cut back to wherever the neighbor, Walter's neighbor, the husband of the wife that died in the beginning.
Yeah, back in the mental institution, jail cell,
right, wherever,
you know, interrogation room, whatever.
Where, and now it is the police. And they're just, yes, like, hey, do you remember the names of any of the three people that were here interviewing you? And he's like, no. But they said they were hunting ghosts and shit. And they were like,
we also learned it was like a year ago.
Yes. It's been like a year or something. Yeah, like that.
It's like a, there's been like a long passage of time. So it would make sense that he wouldn't remember their name at this point.
Yeah. He's like, I have no fucking idea. Yeah. And they're like, cool. Do you know this guy? And he's like, yeah, he was the deputy. And they're like, okay, cool. So do you know that he burned your house down and everyone else's house down? He's like, I don't care. I haven't lived there. I don't want anything to do with it. And he's like, but also, did you bring that guy with you?
Yeah.
And they're like, who are you talking about? And he's like, that guy. He came with you.
Which, if there were three of us on one side of the table talking to somebody and that person pointed at something behind us that we could not see, I would leave the room immediately.
Sure.
Well, if it's a psychiatric facility, I would be like,
the only way I'm going to a psychiatric facility is if I'm have to go, like I am like having a psychotic break and I'm being forced to go. I'm not going to go there to like interview people.
You could be visiting a loved one.
Well, yeah, I would do that. Oh man, but that would be so I don't know. I would be so scared. I hate this.
And he turns one of the photos on the table and is like, is this guy?
Yeah, it's this dude. He looks just like this, but burned because he was in one of the houses. Yeah.
And they're like, what? And as they turn, a chair, a folding chair, picks up and flies towards the screen.
Is it Stone Cold Steve Austin from the Raptors?
At first, it just like slides out like he was going to sit down.
Yes.
Like he was going to sit down backwards at a high school like auditorium to talk with the kids or whatever.
Yeah, to teach kids to rap about math.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly. And then like the kids didn't care about math, so he threw the chair at him.
Yep. And that's the movie.
So having seen the movie, having talked about the movie, what'd you guys think about Terrified?
Really enjoyed it.
Yes, very, very, very enjoyable.
I was terrified watching this. It was very scary.
Definitely a movie to show your friends if you want to scare them. You're like the horror friend in your group of friends and people are like, what is something scary lately? You could just show them this film. It would be good.
Yeah, if you want to scare your friends, for sure, this is the movie to do it because it is very scary.
Yeah, and unfortunately, not a ton of fun facts. Just a heads up.
I mean, are there any? Should we just like not hit us with our fun facts?
So the only one is more just a listing of a reference that happens in the movie where in the very beginning when they mentioned that the dog they ran over turned out to be alive, he says that the animal was like Highlander, which obviously refers to the Highlander series, where they are eternal and only, you know, there can be only one. But I think that also might be a translation thing, although they do mention Highlander, but I feel like Pet Sematary is a more accurate description. But yeah,
well, I mean, you're only saying that because those dogs aren't in the street trying to become the last Doglander. So
right.
Pet Sematary would make more sense.
The dog isn't weirdly Scottish.
But being referred to as the Spaniard.
Yes, it's a weird series.
That movie's insane. I can't wait for the remake.
Oh, with Henry Cavill?
Yeah,
I can't wait either.
I love that series. It's so bizarre.
I do want to point this out. I have a fun fact for you.
Sure.
When we see the doctor in his house, what was his name? Dr. Rose. And talk.
Yeah, Rosenthal.
When we see him in the house that he's like investigating,
yes,
it's right before the shit really kicks off. You see like all of his investigating equipment, and he's like fucking with a flashlight, I think, at the time. But over his shoulder, you see one of the paranormal investigation things is just Adobe Audition.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, are they cleaning up podcast audio or are they like...
No, he's probably using a spirit box and they're trying to clean up spirit box audio like they do on all those TV shows.
So funny.
But I love that all of his stuff, because she says he's an investigator from America.
Yeah.
Implying that maybe he was involved with the case in 98. And so he has like an EVP meter, a spirit box, a computer, whatever. And her tools are all whatever the Argentinian spirit fighter tools are from this and the next one that are all like gold and very precise.
And look a lot like the sextant in
When Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks, yeah.
Yes.
Oh man, this movie was terrifying. But no fun facts really outside of that.
Not really, unfortunately.
Right now is when I would hit you with the box office as well. But again, like Paige, there really isn't much box office information. But I will say that the director has said it was shot for what is considered low budget, which could be anywhere between $100,000 and like right over $1 million.
It looks real good for that.
It does. It looks so good for that.
It's interesting because it's almost like it's not single location, but it kind of is because it's a neighborhood where they have like,
it's like three houses
that are all kitty corner. Yeah.
But the effects all look good. Even the CGI looks okay. Great. I mean, like, it, yeah.
Yeah. The CGI is, I would say, the weak point, but it's also like fine. It's super serviceable.
Yeah.
Like the practical effects, I think, look better because it is super low budget, but I mean, it still holds up. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
I was scared by it. There was no CGI where I was like, oh, come on. You know, I was always like, ah, come on. Like,
I think they're using the CGI to do some of the more disturbing warping of that body.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a version of this you could do where it's just a person. And that's fucking terrifying. The way Hereditary did, where they're like just out of the shadows, you know, or whatever.
Well, and there's a bunch of that shot where it's like out of focus, like coming out of the cupboard behind Walter. Like those shots are super fucking scary, man.
Yeah.
But they're not like jump scary. There are a lot of jump scares in this too, don't get me wrong. But like a lot of the effectiveness of the scares is that like it's sort of out in the open, just the person can't see it.
Right.
And it's creeping up on them. And a lot of that creeping dreadness of it, I hate.
Yeah.
It's so scary. Anyway.
I loved it.
But there's not much to the box office. I will say this, though. It did make $391,000 in the worldwide box office. And honestly, the majority of that was in Russia.
Yeah, this was also a festival darling. So this went to a lot of festivals and I think sold pretty quickly into distribution in the United States, where it only had a very, very limited release. But then it became like one of those online ones that gets buzz, where it's like, this did well at festivals and now we're watching it online and people loved it. And I think that's the basis on which he was able to make When Evil Lurks, which I hope somebody just backs up a money truck for this dude and is like, do whatever you want. Like, let's see what happens.
Because of the way When Evil Lurks like played out financially, he may not need someone to back up a truck for him, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's fair.
That movie did pretty well, and if he had like, he probably owned most of the rights to that kind of stuff, so like he may have done very well out of it, which I truly hope he did because he earned it. And I want to see what he does next.
Yeah, but you never put your own money into the movie.
Well, you often don't have a choice starting out, Paige.
No, but I mean, like, now that he's got money, you never put your own money in it. Like, this is where you get other people to lose their money so that they can have creative accounting and offshore accounts. It's how the industry works.
I mean, if you want to retain the rights to the property and make like a lot of, you sort of do have to invest your own money or sweat equity into it, which he obviously did with these first two movies.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, he's really good. Like I all of this to say, like, I really can't wait to see what he does next. And maybe he could do a movie that isn't a horror movie. That would be great.
Probably not.
No, he seems like he likes this.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a knack for it. I'll tell you that. But anyway, that's sort of your box office. There really wasn't a whole lot to it. I did try to find how much Shudder paid to stream it, but that information is rarely available. And of course, I couldn't find it. So sorry about that. Not much to this as far as fun facts or box office is concerned. But Mikey, do you want to hit him with that scary scale?
Yeah, our scary scale listeners scale of 1 to 10 how scary we found the film we watched it today. Our one example is Ghostbusters and our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Paige.
That is a 3 for me.
Oh my God. Okay.
God.
I'm going to give it a 7. Like it was real scary. It's right up there with like When Evil Lurks, but it's got jump scares. Like it's so scary. I hated it.
I'm gonna give it a 6. This is the first time I saw it, and that's when films are scariest to me.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being scared. So yeah.
Paige, was this your first time seeing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I watched it living room, lights out, at night, late at night, by myself, whole nine. Yeah. I was having a good time.
I watched it this morning in bed, lights on, sun coming through the windows. Like, and it still scared the shit out of me.
I should have watched it last night. I thought it was supposed to rain today, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna wake up and it's gonna be stormy, and I'll open the window and watch it. But then it was bright and sunny, like whatever.
Mikey and I were up late last night spreading Democracy on Helldivers 2. So
it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Here's what I will say. I think When Evil Lurks caters more to my type of fear than this does. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that they're two different styles of horror movie with two different, and like he can do them both. And I really enjoy that. Like he's not like a one trick pony. Like Evil Lurks is scarier for other people who are scared by that creeping dread.
Yeah.
And this one was like what I like, which is like, I like my fun house, haunted house, roller coaster kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He did good at both.
Yeah.
So I excited to see what he does next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so that's your scary scale, Mikey.
Oh, yeah, that's the scary scale.
Yeah. So this week, the listeners made us watch Terrified. What is our new theme for next month, and what are we starting off with?
Our next theme is big disasters. And so we are starting out with one of the classics, the original Dawn of the Dead, which is now streaming because of the anniversary. So it is streaming, and then Jake and I are going to go see like a fancy screening of it in the same week.
Ooh, nice.
That's but cool.
The 1970s Dawn of the Dead.
This is a movie we've wanted to do for many years on this podcast, so I'm so excited to finally get to it.
Yeah, well, it's, and the reason we haven't is because of the streaming issues, right? Like, we couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just a heads up, because a million of you have sent it, like, oh, it's streaming on YouTube. You cannot trust the YouTube ones unless it's the official rent ones, like where you actually rent it from YouTube.
Yeah.
Because they are often not complete, or they get taken down very quickly, and we want you guys to be able to watch stuff with us whenever possible. So we wanted to wait till this was actually streaming, and because they are doing a celebration of, I believe it's the 35th anniversary?
It's certainly up there, yeah.
No, it's more than that. Anyway, but it has been out for a long time. They are celebrating the anniversary, so there are also screenings around the country, too. So if you get the chance to see it on screen, go do that too.
So your homework is to check your local listings and perhaps catch it in the theaters or at least streaming, and then check back for that episode.
Awesome.
So Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
Oh, I forgot.
Well, while you're remembering, let me read one of our Spotify comments that just came out on our The Wailing episode. this comment is from Plowbithy, and they say, can y'all have the Romance in the Pod people on for a crossover? They're pretty silly. And I found that comment very silly and it made me laugh, so I wanted to read it. So thank you so much for that comment. Mikey, whose review are you going to read this week?
Phoenix Quinoa.
Well, what does Phoenix Quinoa have to say?
My favorite horror discussion podcast. Half of the joy of watching a new horror film is listening to the horror version after.
Half? That's a pretty high percentage. Thank you for that.
It's the perfect balance of humor and analysis. This show is my favorite podcast to listen to.
Nice.
While walking my dog, riding on a plane, or at work. I love Paige's fun facts and always learn something new about my favorite films. I hope the crew will cover Lake Mungo and Savage Land soon. 5 stars.
Well, Mikey and Paige, I mean, take the suggestion, perhaps. And Phoenix Quinoa, thank you so much for that awesome 5-star review. And if you want to have Mikey read your 5-star review or me read your 5-star comment on Spotify, leave us a comment and or 5-star review and we'll do that for you. So guys, if you like this show but want to hear this power thruple on another movie review show about romance and romantic comedies, check out Romancing the Pod, where Mikey, Paige, and I break down and make fun of romantic movies. It's a lot of fun, guys. Check it out. If you want to follow us on social, please do. We are at Horror Virgin or online at horrorvirgin.com. If you want to follow us all individually, you can do that as well. Paige is at Paige Wesley on Twitter, or Rampage Wesley everywhere else, including TikTok. Mikey is at mrandolph24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome. If you like the show so much and you want to help financially support it, please do by going to patreon.com/horrorvirgin, where you can get a lot of great levels and a lot of great stuff, like bonus episodes, director's cut episodes, where they're a little bit longer and you get them actually a day earlier than the regular feed drop. We do a lot of great things, like listener requests and stuff like that. So guys, check out the Patreon and help support the show.
If you want to financially support me, but not Todd, just look me up on Venmo.
If you can't financially support the show, that's understandable. That's fine. But if you want to hang out with us on the daily, join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/horrorvirgin. We also link it like once a week. So just find it there and join the awesome Facebook group. Literally, we're in there talking every day. It's awesome. And guys, we got a P.O. box. So if you want to send us some love letters or whatever you might send to a P.O. box, it's actually not a P.O. box. It's like a regular street address. It's pretty awesome. It's 6688 Nolensville Road, number 108-34, Brentwood, Tennessee 37027. So send us some stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want to check out our Twitch stream, we're at twitch.tv/ToddAwesome, where we will be playing horror video games. So if you have always wondered what it would be like to watch me get scared, you can now do that on Twitch while I play these horror games. It's twitch.tv/ToddAwesome, guys. Check it out. It's a lot of fun for you. Not a lot of fun for me. This episode brought to you by Tia, and Tia's teenager's been like driving her crazy this week, guys. So how is Tia's teenager driving her crazy?
She keeps walking in front of buses. She's lived every time, allegedly.
But she has been eating her cereal's milk with a spoon.
Yeah.
Do you guys not eat cereal with a spoon? I'm concerned.
I eat cereal with a spoon. I wasn't worried. I didn't bring it up.
Okay.
I'm not the one who had a problem.
Just the milk part. In a glass.
Okay, okay. But you talked about eating cereal with a fork, Paige. Okay, anyway, whatever.
Yeah, you could, because I don't really like the milk part, so then I would just have the wet cereal pieces.
I was watching Seinfeld while in the hotel in Miami this week. They drink a lot of milk in that show, like a weirdly amount of milk. Like, everyone that comes into his house pours themselves a glass of milk like it's a bit.
That is wild, but back in the 90s, they were trying to get everyone to drink milk because of the milk lobby.
Everyone drank milk in the 90s. I've always thought it was like, I'm like, this is too thick.
It's too much. Anyway, sorry. This episode also brought to you by Jonathan, and Jonathan wants me to make you guys watch some videos, so I'm going to steal your screen right now and do just that. Here is his most recent video from TikTok. It is a lady with a ventriloquist. She's a ventriloquist. Okay, she's actually pretty good. Okay, that's insane. She's like changing her voice between two different puppets and herself.
That is really good.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Can I just say this? Ventriloquists are a little scary to me. Like, good ventriloquists, like... that is like the closest thing to supernatural I think we have in this world.
Okay,
that's a bold statement.
Name three things more supernatural than ventriloquism.
Twins.
Magnet.
What are you, ICP? I can't talk about this. We gotta move on. We now return you to another episode of the Patreonicles.
Okay, they wake up and it's like the future from Terminator. There's bones just everywhere.
Is Kyle Reese there? Paige is very interested.
Yes.
No, Kyle Reese PCs is there.
Oh, no.
Kyle, rest in PCs, you mean?
So they have woken up in a facility like the Matrix. They were all kind of tied together in those pods, and then we're like, they wake up from it. In the sky, like Hunger Games, Isaac and Evil Matthew appear, and they're like, you may have broke out of the simulation, but we'll put you back in. We have Terminator-like devices here. Min is still he's still a computer program that multiplies and hunts people, but he is also, they're also a Terminator.
He's like T2.
So now they just put a bunch of means in the body. So, like, a drop ship comes and drops, like, seven of them, and, they're like, what is happening? And Karun and Tasha wake up and they're like, are we aliens or not aliens? And do we have children or not children? And they're not blue and they're regular people. And they start crying again because they don't know what this means.
I think they have been on the craziest emotional roller coaster for like the past 3 years of like, do they have kids? Are they aliens or not? Like, not only just
like... We destroyed their whole civilization of trillions of people.
I know. Was it real or not?
We don't know.
What is happening?
So they're crying again. Kate wakes up and she's able to move a pebble with her mind. And she's like, I can save us. And so she throws pebbles at the Terminators, but you know, they're just pebbles. So it doesn't work. Aaron wakes up, but she still has her like light arrow powers.
Nice.
And then Wes wakes up and he's like, I'm no longer a jet ski. And he's like, thank God. And he starts crying.
Oh, he didn't want to be a jet ski, I guess.
Yeah. Allie wakes up and she does not have mermaid legs. She just has regular people legs. And she's like, was I ever a mermaid? What is happening? And her psyche just kind of fractures. Bo Easy, who is in love with her, cradles her and is like, I'm still a redneck.
Don't worry, so darling. I'm still a redneck.
Jeremy still has laser eyes and he kills all the Terminators, which is weird. And Mr. Rage Bomb just looks like a normal guy. He tries to create bombs and can't. He drops to the ground and cries.
They rhyme. It's similar.
Uh-huh. Sunzy's not around and they don't really know.
Oh, no.
River Moon wakes up and she's like, just like looks really granola. And she still has some like sage on her and essential oil. So
like 100% of her outfit is crocheted.
Yeah. And like she's got a big crystal necklace on and she's like, oh, I feel like really centered.
I know who you're talking about.
Sexcalibur wakes up just naked, huge dong. Just like that's where he gets the name.
All right.
We finally learned.
And he's like, this is amazing and great. But he hadn't noticed that it's like a post-apocalyptic world. There are zombies shambling.
Well, yeah, he's noticing other things, it sounds like.
Yeah, there are zombies shambling in the distance. Vixen wakes up. She does still have a laser gun. She found one and she's she's shooting the zombies like before they get there. Madeline cannot do cartwheels, and she's like, and then Edward wakes up and he has got like a big giant hammer. He's like a big jacked Viking like hammer guy. Fuck yeah. And Laura's face appears on a screen and she's like, I don't know what's going on. I can't talk to y'all. I can't hear you. Are you guys okay? She like beeps out and they're like, where are we? What's going on? And then that's the end of the episode.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait till next week to find out what is going on another episode of
The Patreonicles. That's going to be it for us, you guys. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd.
Keep it oogie spooky.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
Bye. There's a crack in the wall where the boys can see it all, nerds.